Talk Live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychic, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Natalie, also known as Stars Cast. Sometimes I reverse it, but we have another wonderful topic about cleansing and toxic influences. And you probably can't imagine all the things that affect us, like food, the air, I would say like even maybe furniture, anything in your house can affect us, microwaves, all that kind of stuff. But tonight I have with me Stars Maya Moon and Stars James, and they're going to enlighten you as I know they can very, very well. So Stars James, I believe you're going to start off tonight.
Yes, I'll go ahead and start. And
okay,
thank you, Natalie.
You're welcome.
And you know what, I just want to apologize ahead of time. I'm not feeling the greatest, everyone, so please bear with me with this particular show. I know it's going to be fine, but I am dealing with some toxic influences of my own, so this is actually a really good show for us today. First of all, I just want to greet everyone. Thank you for listening in. I just wanted to start out, I had separated these into three different categories. And so I want to kind of go over those three different categories before we jump into the actual topic. But in terms of the things that influence us, there's things that are influencing us on the physical level. And these are things such as pollutants in the air, pollutants in our own home environment, and things that we put into our bodies. Those, to me, would be on the physical level. And then hopefully going to get into all three of these. The second one was tribal influences, and tribal influences are friends and family, work environment, school, and influences that you have in interacting with other people, because those have a tremendous role of in terms of how your body feels and your overall well-being. And then finally, we're going to take a brief look at mental and emotional issues, things that are influencing you, that you're putting into your body, but not necessarily from a physical standpoint, that have influence on your situation. And I think I'm going to, instead of passing it over, I think I'm going to jump right into the physical level, and then I'll pass it over to Maya. And the first thing I wanted to talk about was physical environment, not necessarily like your home, but, you know, maybe the city that you live in or the state that you live in, if there's pollutants in the air. I know that I just moved from Michigan to Missouri, and one of the things that I'm dealing with right now is I think that some of what I'm dealing with is that I moved to a more metropolitan city area from a much more rural area, and I think I'm dealing with some pollutants in the air. And I mean, there's you know, certain things that we can do. I actually have an air purifier in my house. That's one thing that, you know, you can do inside your own home. But some of the things that I wanted to talk about on that level, when you're talking about the city that you live in, you know, there are certain things that you can do that help benefit you and others. Things like recycling. I mentioned air purifiers, water purifiers. To me, that's important. I don't know if that's important to everyone. I am not a fan of bottled water. I think it produces too much waste. So I definitely have a couple different water bottles that filter water, and then I have a pitcher. And there's wonderful companies out there that I know Satchel is one of them, and there's a couple other ones. I can't remember what I have for my refrigerator, but there's a water filter that I have for my refrigerator. Those are just some things that you can do in terms of making sure that you're getting clean water, because, you know, there are a lot of influences or toxic influences in the water. I know that there's a debate on whether fluoride is good for us or not, and there's, you know, definitely a evidence that it is good for our teeth. However, that it's also fluoride is also something that they use in a lot of antidepressants to calm the way that our brain activity is. So, I mean, that's another thing that a lot of people now are actually standing up and saying, hey, we don't really want fluoride in our water. So if you're concerned about that, I know that the Seychelles pitchers specifically, those can, you know, filter out things like fluoride. And then the last thing that I kind of wanted to bring up with physical environment or, you know, the, and this is actually for your home as well, but organite. Organite is a, it's made out of crystals and certain metals and then resin, and they kind of mold all three of those together. And that is actually, scientists have actually shown how much it has an influence on things like cell phone towers or, you know, your own cell phone that you carry around with you. Those all have energy that influences you that could potentially be toxic if you get too much of that. In fact, there was a while back I was doing some reading, and I read an article about bees and how bees are influenced by cell phones, where if you take a cell phone and you stick it in like a flower bed, the bees will not pollinate that flower bed. So there's definitely something happening with that, with whatever is coming off of the energies that are, or the energy that's coming off of the cell phone is having an influence on the bee population. And I know that in the United States, the bee population, well, globally, the bee population is decreasing. So that's what I had to say about the physical level in terms of your the city that you live in. What would you have to say about that, Maya?
Well, thank you, James. Very well put, and you sound great, but thanks for letting us know. And first and foremost, all healing to you. And I want to welcome everyone, as I always do. We are so very happy to have you. If this is your first time, I know that you'll be hooked in a good way, in a good way. And if you are a listener from prior shows, I'm sure you'll find this informative and interesting. Hopefully you will. And just a reminder that the chat room is open, and I know Stars Priestess Candy and Stars Aeneas or Aeneas are both available. So if you wanted to do or have a mini reading or a question answered, you can visit the chat room. We don't do any readings on air. However, if you have a general comment, we really love to hear from our listeners. If you have a comment or maybe just a general question regarding the topic, you can call 347-838-9736. And with that, I'll get started. Yes, I do agree with you. So what my guides, and I go off of my guides, and there's many ways to look at this. And I do believe that we have our physical environment. Unfortunately, in this day and age, I do feel that our environment is heavy with toxins. Now, let's understand that we can balance, and our bodies, I believe, are formed in such a way that we can work against this. But even, in fact, it was Miss Natalie that brought up something that I thought was a really good point. In the physical environment, I see it as physical and then external, which is a little bit like physical, but maybe it just is a shade off. And then what I see is the internal, external, internal, which some of those are interchangeable, external and internal, and then emotional and spiritual. However, my guides believe that we are a trine or a trinity, and therefore anything that affects one part of the body affects the other. And what I wanted to say, James, as you mentioned, the area that you live in, you're only about 3 hours from me. I didn't know if you were aware of that.
Oh, am I? I'm in Kansas City.
Yeah, you are. Okay. I have a very dear friend that visits frequently. So I just thought I would bring that up. I know it's off topic, but that's okay. I can do that. That's okay. So, what one thing that we have to be, you know, we have to kind of accept is that there's really no way. Let's start with the physical, or what I call the external, which is a little bit about what James talked about. But Ms. Natalie had brought up microwaves, and James had brought up cell phones. And those are all, and then we have, in some cities, you know, there's smog problems. If you live in a factory, for example, the area that I live in, which is definitely a problem. Now, I don't live what you would call rural. I live in a suburb, but we have Tyson. I don't know if everyone is familiar, but Tyson is probably the number one or two producers of chickens. So we're famous for our chicken farms, but that goes out into the air, especially during the breeding and hatching, I should say the hatching season, that I do know enough about science that they lay eggs. So, but that actually can cause even spots on your lungs and can cause issues. Even people that don't work, just the putrid smell, the toxins from the waste products of the chicken. So we call them chicken farmers, and that is what they are. And it's actually a very lucrative and prosperous business, but you can go past certain areas when you're driving out in the area that I live, and the odor is overwhelming. So there's a lot of various different that are physical or external in our homes. There's many things that we don't even think about, and I'll go into a little more detail later with what to be aware of. So some of them we're basically forced to deal with. We can't, obviously we can't, we live in the city, we can't eliminate and say, hey, everybody stop driving, the smog is too much. And nor can I, you know, go to all the farmers and say, look, no more chickens. So some of it, you know, we do, yeah. I
could try it.
I would probably say, keep the turkeys because I love turkey, but, you know, maybe just raise 3 instead of 3,000. So we do have to accept that we're never going to be able to eliminate a lot of the physical or what I consider the external. And the internal, I think there's a crossover. To me, the internal is more that which we take in, whether it's through, and there's a couple different ways, and James had brought up some really great points, I thought, about the water, but the food, the additives. So there's a lot of ways without going way overboard or thinking, okay, so in order to be healthy, I'm going to have to do da-da-da-da-da. Not really. A few little changes can make a world of difference. So the internal, what we take into our body, and also what a lot of people are not aware of is things that become absorbed, like I talked about the chickens. Okay, well, that can work doubly. That can cross over from external to internal because we breathe that in, and that's a toxin then that enters into our physical, it enters into our bloodstream, it goes through our lungs. And so even the soaps, even perfumes, I'm a person that adores fragrances, but they do have that toxicity. So that was another thing that my guides had brought to my attention, that in many cases, or for example, James again had brought up medications, or I think you actually brought up something that was in. Medications, although I believe in medications and they're necessary for many people for various illnesses, whether we're taking NyQuil for a cold or we're on prescribed medication for a heart condition or diabetes, we do have to realize that even the best medications, And even though I am in no way saying that I disagree with medications, I don't. They're a necessary part of life. But there is always going to be that other toxic side. So even anything from aspirin to taking a antacid, anything we take, and much of what we consume, whether that's coffee, soda, lemonade, unless we go through various steps, which is very difficult you have to go from the ground up. And then we have, quickly, I don't want to take a lot of time with just the intro, but emotional and spiritual, and that is, that gets a little more complex. But to me, the emotional and spiritual, again, keep in mind that my belief system is that each affects the other, so everything is affected regardless of how that toxin enters the body. But the emotional is, it can even be the way that we define ourselves, how we react to an experience. That can be a toxic situation or other than a positive. People that we're surrounded with, the type of work that we do. And when I'm talking about emotional and spiritual, I'm talking about our level of intrinsic satisfaction, happiness, coworkers that we enjoy, we resonate with, we feel in harmony with, versus those that we continue to have, you know, feelings, we don't get along. There's always that little bit of feeling that we're brushing up against something negative. So there's that bristling, I guess is the word. So we also have that. We also have people and spiritually, things that we absorb spiritually, and even watching things can be traumatic, and that can be toxic to us. And so with that, I'll go ahead and turn it back to James so he can go into more details of his choosing.
Okay. All right. I think we'll cover some of what you just covered again, because I think you covered my whole list. So what I want to go back to home and physical body, because these are two areas that I think people sometimes have that toxins or toxic. And when I say toxic, I don't necessarily mean that it has to be chemical. It is a lot of times chemical, especially when we're talking about foods that we eat, medications you brought up, medications that we take. You know, those things can be chemically toxic, but we can also have toxic environments. Like to me, if I walk into a very cluttered space, whether it's a house or an office, a space that, you know, just has a lot of stuff, to me that is a type of toxin, because it constrains our mental and emotional patterns. There are things like, I'm just going to list off some things, and then maybe Maya, you can list off some things that you do. But for my home, one thing that I do is I actually, every about 3 to 6 months, and I do it every 6 months automatically, but usually about every 3 months, I'll start picking things up and discarding them. I go through all of everything that I own, and anything like clothing that I have not worn in the past 6 months, unless it's like summer and I'm looking at winter clothes or winter and it's summer clothes, I will go ahead and discard the clothing. I'll try things on. And this is something that I always do every 6 months. I try on all of my clothes. And if it doesn't feel comfortable on my body, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to, you know, it can fit just fine. But if I look in the mirror and it does not look right, I discard that. And it's a way for me to make room and open up for more things. One thing about life is a constant flow of energy. And there are things, you know, if we lose that flow of energy in one area of our life, we oftentimes can lose it in many other areas of our life. So I am using clothing as an example, but there, you know, are many other things too. I look through my drawers and I look through just to make sure that all of what I own is being utilized and not just taking up space. So clutter is a major thing in my household that I like open spaces. I like feeling free when I walk into a room. And that, so that's one thing that I focus a lot of energy on. Another thing is I do use crystals. I do feng shui, which is another, I mean, that's a very specific way to go through all of your things and release those things that you no longer need or use. But I do use crystals in my decorating, in what is around me. I feel like they have their own vibration, and so when I integrate that into my household, it certainly increases the vibration or the energy that's in my household. I also make sure, no matter where I'm living, I have some sacred space. I'm not sure, Maya, if this is something that you do, but this is important to me to have some, like right now in the house that I just moved in, I actually have a whole room that is like my meditation room. But before I moved into this house, when I was in Michigan, I had a much smaller space. So I had the corner of one room that was like my meditation area or my altar, if you will. And so that is something that's important to me to keep the energy high. And to keep, you know, to keep the aesthetic quality of, or you know, the aesthetic quality in flow with what I want and desire. So those are things that I can do, or that I do in my household. And then I want to talk briefly about my body as well, or our bodies. One thing that I have found, and I really think that. Diet is one of those things that you every individual has to figure out on their own. It is beneficial to, you know, if you find a diet that works for you, that is, you know, a diet that's written in a book or something, that's great. But one thing my dietitian told me one time that if you, you know, there are 6 billion diets on the planet because there are 6 billion people, and you really have to figure out what your body can handle and what your body cannot handle. One way of doing that is to kind of cut off all foods that cause inflammatory issues in the body or allergenic issues in the body. Cut off all those for like a week and then gradually start adding them back, and you'll start recognizing what foods you can tolerate and what foods you can't really tolerate very well. You know, for instance, like I don't do well with wheat, but I do fine with all other grains. Wheat is really the only grain that I don't do very well with. And the lady that I was working with, the dietitian that I was working with, said that it's because in the United States, a lot of our diet is wheat-based. And so people start building up an intolerance to wheat because they don't have a lot of alternatives in their diet. To me, the best diet for me is eating lots of fruits and vegetables. I probably eat about a pound of fruits and vegetables a day, and that is when I'm at optimal level. That's when I feel the best, is when I do that. I don't eat a lot of meat. You had mentioned chicken, and I thought that was funny because I had chicken on my list for diet. I try to pick meats. First of all, I don't really like red meat that much, so I eat more chicken and fish. But when it comes to chicken, I try to find chickens that are raised, and I hope you're not offended by this because you live by Tyson, but raised ethically. You know, I want, you know, my food source to have a good life before it gets to me, because really, if you think about eating an animal, and I do have a meat-based diet. I enjoy eating chicken. But I also, you know, if you think about how they're raised, and maybe, I mean, these are animals with minds and hearts and feelings, and, you know, I want them to have as good of a life. I appreciate them, you know, giving their life so that I can be sustained. But I think it is important, too, that they're raised in an ethical way, and I think that a lot of factory chickens and factory poultry and things of that nature aren't right now being raised in a very ethical way. So I try to stay away from hormones and things like that. I do a lot of bone broth. In fact, I was not feeling well, as I said, so I made myself some bone broth soup, and I am feeling much better now than I did a few hours ago. So in bone broth, it's really easy. You just take, you know, I save all the bones in the freezer of all of the chicken, and I think I had some turkey bones in there. And I take that and I all of the vegetable cuttings that I don't use throughout the week, I throw that in there, and then I dump it all into a big pot, and you put a little bit of vinegar in it and boil it down until it's like a really rich and vitamin-rich and nutrient-rich broth, and then I use that for soups. And then, of course, exercise. Exercise is huge for the body. Our bodies were created to move. We have muscles and joints. And you know, I think that this is a big issue when it comes to living toxin-free, is being able to move our bodies. In our endocrine system, it actually flows based off of how much movement we give our bodies. So movement is a huge thing when it comes to having a healthy body. One thing that I do a lot too, and this is how I get so many fruits and vegetables in, and this is really, you know, like I said, there are 6 billion diets on the planet. I like smoothies. Like, I do smoothies for like 2 or 3 meals a day. I usually eat 5 meals a day, and 2 or 3 of those are just a smoothie with kale, blueberries. I mean, I put different things in, but my favorite is kale, blueberries, almonds, and a half banana with some cinnamon in it, and that's my absolute favorite. So those are just some things I do in my home, and then for my physical body, those are just some things that I do to keep myself toxin-free and keep my life moving forward. Maya, what are some of your things that are some suggestions that you would make?
Well, one that you made that I am a firm believer, and I write the blog and I write quite a bit about crystals. Crystals to me are the absolute top of the list in terms of not only for our physical environment, for our home, we can take them to our place of work. So they also help spiritually and emotionally. So I would say that the number one way of combating toxic influences that we can't eliminate is to use crystals. I feel that crystals are great. And I also believe, like you mentioned, dieting is individual, and I believe that's true with food and with what one person considers toxic. Like you mentioned, fruits. For my body, too much fruit is way too acidic for my physical body. So one thing that folks can do is to, you know, if you're able to watch the labels, and if you're looking at food and what you're consuming, just try to look at labels and try to, you know, you let your body, if we try to revert back to our body, not so much in terms of a diet to lose or gain weight, but just to let us know. I liked what you said about, you know, how people can get allergies or tolerance, or it can become toxic or whatever. But if you really ask, you know, I mean, just use the intention that I want to be aware of, as I'm eating the various foods, what foods make me feel good, and by good, you should feel satisfied but not stuffed. your habits should be, you know, your personal habits should be regular and without concern, and you should feel a good sense of energy. So that's a good way of determining what we're taking in terms of whatever we're drinking and our food source. So I would say crystals. I agree with you on a space, even if it's a very small, limited space or an area that maybe is sometimes used for something else, but you can put a couple of things that resonate just with you and work for you, to give you that sense of peace. So a few things that we can do, and again, everyone's a little bit different. For some people, using fragrances like candles works very well. Fragrances, incense helps to cleanse. There's all various ones that we can use. And for other people, that's not good. They need to keep the fragrances down. But lighting a candle, if you use the intention of, you know, I believe we can use intention in all the facets of cleansing and releasing toxins. And that's just thinking to yourself, you know, my intention is to remove, release any toxins that are present in my body and ask to be cleansed. So you might write, if scents are not something that you resonate with or you enjoy, you can light an unscented candle. I believe our homes are very important. That's our personal space. And especially because we not all of us sleep that much, but for those that are able to get a good night's sleep, we spend a lot more time in our bedroom, even if we're sleeping or wherever it is we're sleeping, than we do at other places sometimes. So the bedroom needs to be important. If you walk into your home, and obviously if you have a partner, you have to find balance with your partner and you have to be in agreement. But I believe we should walk through the door of our home, and regardless of whether we don't have to be rich in order to achieve this, but we should have an immediate sense of peace, security, and safety. And whatever method you use, you should have a feeling of a flow. So I think that's really important that you have that, because that can be just having furniture. For some people, it's like they don't do well in overcrowded places, like going to the mall or going to concerts, things like that. So in our home, you need to be able to walk into your rooms, have some personal space, and your home should feel to you inviting. I don't really feel it's important what other people think other than those that we might share our home with, but it should feel good. If something doesn't feel right, then if the pictures, for example, hanging pictures, if it feels better to you to scatter them like a collage, then that's a lot better for you than it is to hang them, you know, in the designer type fashion. So I think that can be a toxin. Now, I believe that nature offers us natural cleansings, and I'm not talking about anything that we, my guides and I, we are not big fans of these river and these cleanses and a lot of that. I know that a lot of people are, and we all have different ideas, so in no way am I suggesting that I'm right. I'm just sharing with you what my guides have shared with me. And they feel that nature offers a much better alternative. So like James mentioned, a walk or being out in nature, if you can tolerate sunlight, if you can spend even 5 or 10 minutes in the moonlight, water has energy. I'm talking about like a brook, a stream, a lake, ocean. Anytime that you can be near water, you don't even have to be in water. So when we're talking about ways to purify and cleanse, they sell all different sizes, and some of them are quite inexpensive, of these little decorative where the water is moving. Do you know what I'm talking about, James?
Yeah, I have a little feng shui fountain in my office.
Okay, yes. I think I feel that's a really great way as far as the physical. So that's pretty much it about, you know, the external. We can only control the environment so much, but anything that makes us feel, again, if we get in touch with our body, anything that makes us feel better, and I know what you're saying about the hormones and with the foods that we eat, and so it's just anything, whether it's a can of green beans or, like for me, too much fruit. If your body is giving you a signal, then that tells you that you're either consuming too much of that food or that you need to try something else. So experiment. Try things that you're not used to, and any food that are drink water. And, of course, you know, a lot of us have some bad habits that we developed, especially those like for my generation, smoking cigarettes, alcohol, and it's not any type of moral judgment meant at all, because there are some benefits actually from some like wines can be very beneficial for some people, and then for others that can be a toxin. So, again, I think it's individual, and I want to make sure we have enough time to go over some of the, which is why I said in the beginning, for me, the external and the internal are, they're a little bit interchangeable because it may be external, but it ends up being internal.
Right.
You know, it kind of goes, and I believe that it affects everything. And so I'll turn it over to you, and I want to talk to a little bit about our emotion and people and spiritually and so on. So,
absolutely.
Yes, I do agree pretty much with what you said about exercise and moving our bodies and all that. And I know there's some of us that are limited, but we can all do a little bit of something. And anytime, again, if we just pay attention to our body is such an amazing, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. I just find it's just absolutely amazing. If we listen to our body, we will receive the answer. Don't you agree, James, that our body...
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and most of us are just busy. We lose that awareness and that added connection. For example, compared to, of course, I raise dogs, and I know I see everything. Dogs teach me so much, but animals are amazing because they don't care what the other dog thinks or the people think. They just follow their body's signals. They're very instinctual, and although sometimes they bark and that's very annoying to me, they do so many things. If they're not hungry, they don't eat, and when they are hungry, they eat. And if I get them a food and they don't eat it, I can guarantee you that there's something in that particular food that is not good for them, and their body knows it, and so they won't eat it. So anyways, over to you, James.
Okay, and you had mentioned, I do want to cover this really quick. You had mentioned about listening to our bodies, learning to listen to our bodies. And I did have a recommendation for that, and this is something that I had learned kind of early on. It's kinesiology. There are certain ways that you can use kinesiology to figure out what is healthy for your body and what is not, you know, great for your body. The one caveat to this is, you know what, if you're using chocolate cake and you eat chocolate cake every day, I'm, you know, that may not be something that's great for you. So you have to really listen to what your body is telling you. You can't just go, okay, well, you know what, but I really like chocolate cake. I mean, if you're going to get serious about detoxifying your life, including your food, you have to really be serious about it. And so one way that you can use kinesiology is you can get a pendulum, and you can hold the pendulum over certain vitamins that you're taking, certain medications that you're taking, and see if they're benefiting your body or if they're not benefiting your body. And that helped me out tremendously early on because it really taught me, you know, what foods are really, you know, really good for me, and then what foods I should probably stay away from, or maybe eat more in moderation, like chocolate cake, and what foods I, you know, really should just stay away from altogether. So in another way that you can do kinesiology, that's the pendulum is one way. The other way is if you just hold whatever food that you're inquiring about and you have someone pull down on your arm, the level of strength that you have in the other arm when you're holding the piece of food will indicate, you know, if that food is something that is benefiting you in terms of giving you strength or taking away from your strength. That's another way that you can use kinesiology in that way to determine which foods are good for you and which foods are not. Because the reality is, you know, the fruits do not, you know, I have no problem with fruit. In fact, I eat a lot of fruit. I probably eat, you know, half fruit, half vegetables in my fruit-vegetable combinations, and I have no problem. And it sounds like for you that wouldn't be a very good thing. So, you know, our bodies are so different that, you know, it is important to figure out what is good for you. Let's see. Candy had asked a question. Hey, James, how does the pendulum thing work? are using metal or crystal. You know, I really, because it's kinesiology, Candy, it doesn't, I don't really think it would matter. Kinesiology is based off of muscle movement. So it's the way that your muscles are moving the pendulum on a subconscious level. So I don't think it would matter if it was a metal or crystal. It may. I use a wooden one. So I don't know if it would matter, metal or crystal, because I've only ever used the wooden one when it comes to food. So that's the answer to that question. And you could try out, you know, if you have a crystal or metal one, try each of them and see what happens. Now, we wanted to talk a little bit more about emotional and mental toxins that can come in. And this brings me to tribal influences. So influences related to family, friends, workplace, and school or you know, whatever's most appropriate for you. And, you know, this is a big topic because we, as humans, it's so easy for us to hold up offense and become offended and angry with others. And so I want to talk less about the actual toxic influence unless Maya wants to bring in the toxic influence, and more about the resolution to the toxic influence, because there can be 100 things that are creating toxic emotions, but there really is only one thing that will solve it, and to me, that is love. And just point blank, I believe that nearly all religions teach that, you know, we're learning how to love on this planet, that is the most important thing. So the strategies that I would give someone to relieve tribal toxins is to first forgive, learn to let go of the past. That is 100% one of the most important things that we can do in our life. If we are unable to forgive, we are going to be stuck creating the same scenarios in our life over and over and bringing in the same toxins, usually on a greater and greater level each time we go through that cycle. So letting go and forgiving is one of the key things that we can do in our lives to release toxic influence when it comes to relationship. Let people be who they are. Just because, you know, we really have no power or control over how other people are, what they are. And so, you know, if they believe something that is in opposition to what you believe, just let them believe it. And if they get angry, that's fine. Just let them get angry. You know, or whatever they get, just let them get that. You don't have to resonate with their, you know, with their thought processes in a negative way. You can just let them be who they are. The third thing I would say is tell the truth. And in Buddhism, it says they talk about this being one of the most difficult things we can do on this planet, is simply tell the truth. And I actually believe this. Your truth. I'm not saying that there is, you know, there is a universal truth with a capital T, but what is more important in your life walking, your movement forward, your life walking forward, is your personal truth. Be able to tell your truth and then accept other people's truths. That was the last thing that I had talked about. And along with that, create boundaries. This is so important because relationships thrive with boundaries. Without boundaries, relationships do not thrive. They actually fizzle out, or they become abusive, or there are lots of really toxic things that can happen if you are not really clear about your intention with the people that you're around. Sometimes those boundaries, you know, are spoken, and sometimes they're not. Like sometimes they are, I will only go this far with this individual, and that's it, and that's okay. But relationships really thrive with boundaries. And then the last one really deals a lot with family, most important, I think, and, you know, work environments, those tribal influences. Don't entertain gossip. Be really careful in how you are interacting with other people, especially when they're talking about someone that is not in the same room or cannot defend themselves, because this, and it's a subtle toxin because we don't realize just how much it influences our minds. There's a verse in the Bible where Jesus talks about at the same level that we judge another person, we are judged. And when we are entertaining things like gossip about other people, what we're doing is we're really putting negative energy into ourselves. We don't realize it at the time, but that's what's going on. So, and then just finally with that one, I really wanted to go through, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, Maya, but the four agreements, especially in the workplace when I was working full time, 50 hours a week, the four agreements really helped me out a lot. And this is a book by, oh gosh, I can't remember. Do you remember who wrote the four agreements?
I don't know.
That's okay. Don Miguel Ruiz. Okay, the four agreements are: be impeccable with your word, meaning speak with integrity, say what you mean, avoid using the word to speak against yourself or gossip about others, and use the power of the word for the direction of truth and love. That's the first agreement. I agree to be impeccable with my word. And these are things that I can tell you I have used in my personal life, and they have a profound impact on positive movement forward and getting rid of toxic energy. The second one, don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. So the agreement number two is don't take anything personally. Agreement number three, don't make assumptions. Find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and drama. With just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life. And I agree with that, not making assumptions, because we assume, so many times we assume that other people are mad at us or that they are trying to communicate something that they're not trying to communicate, and usually just one question can alleviate that. And so the third agreement, don't make assumptions. The fourth agreement, always do your best. Your best is going to change from moment to moment. It will be different when you are healthy as opposed to sick. Under any circumstance, simply do your best, and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret. And I can tell you, in whatever job that you're in, because I've worked at several jobs where I've used these four agreements, if you do your best, It's like it works as a catalyst for you. If you're not in the right place, you are just, it's like the universe just shifts you into where you're supposed to be. So I recommend those four things in your dealings with your tribal influences. So your family, your friends, your work environment, and you know, if you're in school environment. And then I'll go ahead and pass it on to you, Maya.
Okay. So yeah, thank you, James. Those were really, really good points. And I love the idea, and of course I am proactive for empowerment, which to me is just being able to speak the truth without truth that is not necessary, and the idea of love. But I believe realistically most of us as humans are not going to be able to reach that level where if we have conflict with a colleague, so let's start at work, we have conflict with a colleague, that we're going to be able to rise to the level where we can show them love. But what we are capable of, if not that, not that I don't think that we should or that would raise or elevate us or that is the ultimate purpose, I know some people can, and I have some clients that could never get to that point. But what point we can get to, a couple things, and you had some really great points that I totally agree with. And one is to do not let another person's actions or words, you know, all of us have been, or most of us have been in a situation, in a work situation, where a colleague or someone that interacts with us, we feel they are deliberately baiting us, or they are making comments that, you know, appear to us to be negative. So we should never let another person, like what you were saying, what they're perceiving to be true or what we are presuming their intention is, do not ever let it enter you. Block it out and release it. And what I suggest is that you release it with compassion. Because another person, and I agree with the gossip, that can, you know, I think there, you know, that can always lead to, it's just a negative and that toxin stays with us. And then I always go with, if we're talking about, if if we have a so-called friend and they're talking about person A, that person is probably talking then about us to someone else. So it's better not to say anything. So I don't want to get too scattered, but we should never allow, and that includes our partner, our family, but at work especially those that we interact with maybe more intermittently, we should never let that person define us, and we should release anything and everything that we feel is aimed towards us. We should release it with compassion because we don't really know what their motivation is, and I very much believe that usually it is a self-projection. So if we have someone that's coming across as hateful or, you know, negative or can only say, oh, well, you only have that, or, oh, you like that color on you. I mean, those are just examples. We don't know. That generally people that are happy are smiling and find something positive to say. People that are unhappy need compassion. So if we can just be compassionate and release it and just say, I'm not going to allow another person and to define me or my mood or my day. And when we talk about boundaries, the example that I always use, we need good boundaries. And to have good boundaries, we can't tell our boss, get out of here, you're bugging me. I mean, no, and if we want to keep our job, we can't do that.
Not if that boss has any good boundaries, you won't be able to.
Well, right. So, I mean, there's a limit. But I say, I give this example. Imagine if our homes, whether we live in an apartment, a mansion, or just a regular, I live in just a regular brick home. Imagine if our home had no outside walls and all we had was openness. You know, let's say they were walls, but they were clear. We would be so uncomfortable if everyone could view our daily activities and we could view everyone else's. That's TMI, too much information. We wouldn't want to see or share. We need to have that strong of boundaries spiritually and emotionally, so that other people, whatever they may be going through, their suffering, whatever their trip is, it doesn't affect us. And truth, asking a question can often clarify, because I often feel, I thought that was a very good point, that even with family and friends, but more so in more casual relationships, or even sometimes at a restaurant, a waitress or a waiter, sometimes a comment can be made, and we may be having a bad day, and we may automatically take that to mean something completely different than the intention. And it's very easy to combat that with just saying, I'm not sure what you meant by that. Or I remember reading one time, Dear Abby had made a comment, and I thought that was just a priceless, I know a lot of people say she doesn't actually write it, but whomever I can credit for said that when someone asks an invasive question that we feel is something we don't want to answer, we query that with, why would you want to know that? In a nice, polite way. If they ask, is that ring real? Let's say you have a big, looks like a diamond, and they ask you, is that ring real? That can be a rather insulting and invasive and not a very polite question. The way that we return that energy can often make the difference between walking away and feeling good and walking away and allowing that to take from us. So the whole idea of interacting with people and having good emotional and spiritual boundaries is that no one else defines us. We have good boundaries. We speak the truth, and we're able to do so politely, do our best, release with love if possible, if not with compassion and with the idea of that person must be suffering in some way, so I'm going to show or feel in my heart compassion, even if you're not willing to show it. you can send that message out. Anytime we do anything that sends out to someone else the higher good or a higher intention or the benefit of the doubt, that is always returned to us in a positive flow of energy. So it's as if we received a recharge or a vibration. So I do feel that's important, and I feel that oftentimes, and this is true with family and friends, if we just ask or we just are honest, if we have a neighbor that continually drops by unexpectedly, and we're the kind that, you know, myself, I prefer, unless it's an emergency and my neighbor needs my help, I don't want people to just drop by. I would prefer that they give me notice or make plans. And all sometimes we need to do is just speak frankly. We don't have to be mean. There's a difference between being mean and cruel and just being honest and saying, I so enjoy your company, but sometimes I'm busy or I've made other plans. How about you call me or text me next time before you drop by? That way, because I'm busy and I can't spend time with you right now, that way I make sure that I have that time that I enjoy. So that's just an example of doing that and not playing into the, if you have a person at work, family members can be the most difficult because sometimes, especially around holidays, we're kind of forced to cohabitate or be with them. But being honest and having good boundaries and letting other people know that, you know, I'm not comfortable with that, or just saying I'm not sure what you meant, or just saying I'm sorry you feel that way, I have a different outlook, isn't it great that we're all different, and walking away. So when we walk away physically, it's good, but when we can walk away emotionally and spiritually, then we know we're not taking any of that toxic energy that's being sent. So good boundaries, I agree, being truthful. And as far as the pendulum, that I believe that our body, there's a couple other terms, and I don't have those on hand to give, but there's a couple other terms about that. And there's some holistic, I know in our area we have several holistic practitioners that use these meters and use that kinesiology and pendulum type things, and our body will usually tell us, will usually answer for us if we're lacking in a certain mineral or we need more of this or more of that. Just to go back to, you were saying, just because I think what you were alluding to is because we crave something doesn't necessarily mean that it's good for us.
Right.
So our body, I do agree. And as far as the pendulum, I believe it's based on intention. So my feeling and my guides support this, that it doesn't matter if it's wood, metal, crystal, it doesn't matter. It's the intention and the way that you're using it. It's your body that is with the help of divine or spiritual. So that's pretty much it when it comes to emotional and spiritual. We really need to imagine ourselves. I often say that there's a bubble around us and that can't be penetrated other than with positive interactions and energy. And we reap what we sow. And just as James said, you know, if you talk about someone or you judge someone, the same shall be done for you. So always try to have that higher intention and be the higher person. Don't get involved in the office politics. Politely, in whatever way, just don't go there, because you will be better served if you can avoid that. And most of all, just stay true to yourself, and I say it because I feel it. It's one of the most important things we can do. Do not let experiences or other people or what we perceive or presume that they think about us to define us. We should only define ourselves. And as James said, we cannot change other people. We can change how we react to those people. And generally, those predator-type people that are working to get a reaction will move on when they find that we're no longer reacting. they're looking for a reaction. So it's like plugging, you know, looking for a plug that works. When they find one, they're like, goody, this plug works. I'm going to keep using this. And when they say, oh, I'm not getting anything here, they move on. So with that, James, over to you with whatever last words of wisdom you have for us this evening.
Okay, and yeah, I totally agree with the plug. Like, if it doesn't resonate with them the way that they want it to, they will usually leave you alone. That's what I have found, is if you don't react, and you're able to just stay who you are, or stay in a place of, you know, that bubble that you were talking about, that place of peace, they won't stick around. There were just a few additional things. I think we ran over time, so I'm not sure if we're broadcasting. Natalie, are
we
still broadcasting?
Yes, we are on air.
Okay.
Yes, I extended
okay.
it.
Okay, there's just a couple, just really quickly, a couple of things that I wanted to talk about inner emotional issues. And Maya brought up some things earlier. One thing that is major when it comes to internal toxins is a lot of times people will scare themselves. And my biggest recommendation to people, if you're trying to detoxify your life, is stop scaring yourself. Stop panicking about things like money, things like, you know, what's the flow of your life, relationships. You know, recognize what you have. It doesn't mean that there isn't a time for, you know, dealing with issues of money and dealing with relationships, but to live in a state of panic and scare yourself all the time about what might happen later on, it doesn't do anyone any good. So I would recommend stop scaring yourself. Face your fears is another major thing. I would strongly recommend choose positive media. In fact, I was thinking about this when you were talking about the microwave. I didn't even think to bring up microwave because I haven't used one since I was a kid. I have not owned one. It's something that I just, you know, long time ago, I was just like, you know, it's not something that I'm going to have. TV is the same way. I don't own a TV. I do have Amazon Prime and Netflix, and there's a lot of documentaries and really cool things that I like to watch on Amazon Prime and Netflix. But, you know, for the most part, like, I don't even own a television set. I haven't for years. Because I noticed that I would really engage with things that were not healthy for me, things that were toxic for me. And I think that that's another thing. It's kind of like eating. The media that you take in really, I guess, is, you know, it's different for every person. But I would recommend that you pay attention to what you're seeing on the news. If you're taking in more negative than positive, it's probably having an impact on your overall mental and emotional well-being. Violence on television, violence even in books and magazines. Pay attention to what you're taking in and what the media is feeding you, because that does, you know, that does have a profound impact on our mental and emotional well-being. Let's see, connect with the earth. We talked about this one, but I think that this is more for me anyway, more in terms of the inner life, mental and emotional. You know, go for walks in the park. One thing that I like to do is take my shoes and socks off and, like, stand on the ground and feel the earth under me. Feel connected to the earth. Make sure that you know, those are just some things. Make sure that you feel connected with the present moment. Rather than being panicky or thinking too much about the future or the past we dealt with in talking about other people with forgiveness. Other things that you can do to clear negative influence or toxic influences is to meditate and pray. Those are things that can help. I would strongly recommend, if you find it difficult to meditate, just spend some time in silence with no television on, no music, doesn't matter how panicky you get. Spend some non-sleeping time in silence and see where that takes you until you can get to a place where you're not panicky and not you know, feeling, because those are all, what's happening is if you turn off the radio and you turn off the television and you find that you're starting to feel panicky, that's those toxins rising up to leave. So allow them to pass through. Stop complaining. You know, find more things in your life to be grateful about than to complain about. That's a huge thing when it comes to clearing out internal toxins. And express love to everything that you encounter to the best of your ability. You had mentioned, Maya, that you're not sure that everyone can express love. I think that by choice everyone can. I wouldn't say that they can't. I would say that they won't. And it's because they choose not to. Because I've worked with clients that, I mean, horrendous things have happened to. And, you know, they're very sensitive and very loving, you know, people. And so I really think that it's more of, you know, if you, there are certainly people out there that are very stubborn or whatever their issue is, that they choose not to. But I do believe that everyone has the capacity to love. Jesus made a commandment that we love our enemies, which is the people who are in direct opposition with us on purpose. And when he meant enemies, he meant the people that were trying to kill you, not the people that were gossiping about you at work. So as far as I'm concerned, I do believe that it is available to us, whether we choose to pick that up or not. That's the thing. And it doesn't. And another thing I wanted to mention really quick. I know we're going over time, but I do want to mention this really quick. I do not believe that loving everyone or loving the people that are around us does not mean that we have to be in relationship with everyone. That there is a huge difference between being loving and sending love out to people and being in relationship. There are plenty of people that are in my life that I don't have a profound or strong relationship with. And it isn't because I don't love them. It's because there are boundaries. There are certain boundaries that I have set that I'm like, you know, I really can't, you know, I have friends that they are into drugs and drinking, and I just don't want to be around that very often. So I limit my time with them. And I think that that is one thing that is important, is to be wise with where you spend your time. That doesn't mean that you can't be loving. I love what Marianne Williamson says. She says, there is definitely a time when you stand at the door and you say, okay, now give me your keys. And that is the most loving thing that you can do. And I agree with that. There is certainly a time when the most loving thing that you can do is say, it is time for you to go. Because, you know, really if we allow people to commit atrocities or submit their bad behavior onto us, we're really just letting them, you know, if they are violating us, we're letting them enter into that toxic energy of their own. So there is certainly a time for us to draw the line and say, hey, it's time to go. Abusive relationships, hey, it is time to go, or it is time for me to go. Those types of scenarios. So I guess that's about it. I love you all. That's all I had to share. Do you have any thoughts, Maya, on just a few inner stuff that I talked about, like the media and meditation and silence, those types of things?
No, I agree with all that. And I'm a nature lover. And I mentioned the moonlight because some of us have, you know, issues being in direct sunlight. I know there's a lot of people with disease and syndrome and illnesses that the sun can actually be an irritant for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we all know, we're all aware of skin cancer, you know, all of us that grew up in the era of baking out in the sun. So the moonlight, I love putting what you said about grounding. I think that's a wonderful experience. As often as we're able to take off our shoes and feel the grass or the rocky beach, the sand, whatever, outdoors, water, all that. I agree, we're all capable of giving love, and I just want to correlate with you that, and I think that happens quite a bit with family, that we can love and we can send out the highest intention to others, but there's always going to be people, family or old friends that have changed that we simply cannot, they are toxic to us, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes in relationships, that's the case as well. We love the person, and perhaps they love us, but the relationship becomes toxic and dysfunctional, and dysfunction and balance cannot cohabitate. It cannot go together. So we're all capable of sending out love. I agree. So do with those things. Pay attention to your body, not just what you're craving, but how you're feeling. And anytime you can have quiet time, if you can't meditate, just quiet time, taking a walk, stepping outdoors, getting some fresh air, stretching your legs, and paying attention to the energy that you're sending out, I think it's extremely important, because we overreact. And just real quick on the media, I bring that up a lot when I do my monthly guidance. I think the media is a lot of propaganda, and I have certain shows. I'm a binge watcher on certain shows, so I'm not going to say anything negative about TV because I watch most of it on my computer, but I have my little shows that I love. But when it comes to the news, I think that's the same thing as other people are hearing things. Don't let that define you because, feeling anxious and scared, when the news comes on and it's this was murdered and this happened here and that, this one did that, I mean, that to me is not, it has no way of serving us. If you have the Weather Channel on because you're having bad storms and you need to watch for a tornado warning or something, that's relevant to your life and important. So, and as far as worry and all that, I agree with that. There's certain things that we need to deal with in the moment, but I call it being a tree and making branches. You know, be a tree. If you need to make a branch because you have to make a decision or something is pressing upon you that day, you have to make a choice, make a decision, take action perhaps. But you don't have to have 50 branches for the next day and the what-ifs and all that. So that's important. So try to work on your physical body, your emotional self, and keeping your spirit whole and intact by trying to be aware that your intention and what you're sending and giving is loving and comes from a place of love, and you will find that you receive that in return, and then block or eliminate, release, and if possible, those that are not good influences or toxic influences, block or release and send them away with love. You know, I will say something like, you know, I release you now to do your greater good elsewhere. I release you with love to do your greater good elsewhere. If you can't bring yourself to say love and compassion, and remember, we don't always know everyone's story, and we don't always know what they mean. We may think we know, but take a second look and think, perhaps I, in the past, have also said something that I meant one way, and it was taken completely different. So with that, there's a lot we can do. We can stop and think about foods, things, and we have to accept that there are things within our control that we can change when it comes to toxic influences and environments. And there's things that we just have to learn to balance out, whether it's using crystals, walking, exercise. And with that, I would like to send out love and blessings to all, and may everyone find their greatest good and their highest good and the path that resonates with them and be able to give and receive love in every direction and on every level.
So I guess it's my turn. I love the topic tonight, as I do. This is Natalie Starscast, as I always do, and I think I have the best of the best here. I want to thank Stars Priestess Candy, and I also want to take the time to say happy birthday to our Stars Aeneas. I guess he's out for dinner tonight, and we want to wish him a very happy birthday. We had some listeners. We had people in the chat room. Next Monday is Memorial Day. We will not have a show on Memorial Day, but we will be back first thing Monday, June 1st at 7 o'clock with another great topic, and I love both of you so much, and I've told you how proud I am, and I'm honored that you chose to be with Stars, because without people like you, places like Stars wouldn't exist, and to me that's the most important thing, because I do love all of you, and I try to take really good care of you as long, you know, as far as being a star as that is. So with that, I'm going to say good night. Enjoy the evening. Enjoy the holiday. Be safe. And we'll see you on June 1st. Thank you, my two stars, Maya and James. I love you both.
Good night.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.